It's Wednesday, so that means, of course, we talk agriculture, talk farming with the experts from Brandt Consolidated. Join us on this first Wednesday in August, Kyle McClellan. And, of course, Kyle, training, I guess, an agronomist, but now you're the seed manager for Brandt, so let me begin there. Stories coming out of the U of I, people anticipating that seed costs are going to be higher for 2022, but some are saying, well, as percentage of gross revenue, it's not that bad. What are you hearing?
Well, I think that's two different things there, Roger. Yeah, I mean, as a percentage of gross revenue, I think if you're a farmer, you're not too worried about that. You're just worried about your cost. So what I can tell you on cost is a lot of stuff is going up. From a seed standpoint, which is my wheelhouse, I anticipate corn seed will go up. I'm not so sure about soybean seed. There is quite a bit of competition in the soybean world between the Extend Flex trait and the E3 trait. I think that will maybe keep soybean prices at bay somewhat. Cover crop seed, I anticipate, will go up pretty rapidly. A lot of that seed is grown out west, specifically in Oregon, and I think everybody that's been paying attention to what's going on out there knows that there's been a real bad drought. It's now led to some wildfires, and a lot of that seed production out there was certainly impacted. And so I think farmers just need to plan on their seed costs increasing. Now, how they manage that on their own farm, I think there's lots of strategies to do that, but I think they can plan on it going up like everything else.
So at this point, when is a good time, and are companies already offering some early pricing, early booking at all?
We haven't seen prices at Brandt. I've got a sneak peek of what I think they may do, and that's kind of what I just told your listeners there, but we haven't seen anything. So if somebody came to us and really wanted to lock something in, it'd be hard for us to do that because we haven't got our prices yet. Now, cover crops, they just went, I just got a report, they just went up yesterday from our supplier. Hopefully they won't go up again by the time we go to the field and start sowing cover crops, but they definitely went up, and again, I'm hopeful they don't keep going up.
Well, I'll try to get back to that if my mind will remind me of it, but as you were mentioning on the soybean side of things, the prices might going up there might not be as much as per se corn. I'm wondering, like in the corn, you know, there's all the various packages of traits. Will all of it pretty much, you think, go up equally, or are there, are the seed companies maybe going to be able to offer, say, on, you know, just a double-traded hybrid, not as big a price increase as they might, say, on something like the Smart Stack?
Good question. I think it'll be all over the board. I think you could probably even see the older hybrids not change, but, you know, you may see a newer hybrid, instead of being $10 a bag higher, be $20 a bag higher. A hybrid that has been doing really well, you know, maybe it goes up in the Double Pro version and the Smart Stacks version. I think what you'll see is a blend. I don't think you'll see just, you know, a 5% increase across the board on every hybrid and every trait package. I think it won't be that way. I think at the end of the day, the seed companies know their mix, and they know what they need to raise their prices to cover their cost of goods, and they'll probably take care of it that way. So, no, I think that if you're a producer out there, as I said, there's strategies to make sure your seed costs don't go up a lot, and that is if you have some older hybrids that are working for you that don't go up in price, stick with them. Use variable rate seeding. You know, make sure you put those seeds where you're going to get the biggest yield return out of them. So make sure, you know, you could potentially lower your seeding rates if you need to. So, I mean, there's strategies out there to help. I think every farmer is different, and they have to analyze each one of those options differently.
As you mentioned, of course, the drought areas of the country, I'm sitting here, and it's been longer ago than I really probably realized, but, you know, the talk of drought tolerance or ability to produce yields with less maybe rainfall, anything new on the horizon as far as further development of those attributes to corn hybrids?
From a trait standpoint, no, I haven't seen anything. But the unbelievable amount of breeding changes that have happened in the last 10 years, Roger. Of course, every new class of hybrids that comes along, stress tolerance is way better than the last class. And drought tolerance, obviously, is part of that. We aren't using traditional breeding methods that, you know, everybody might have learned 30 years ago. You know, we're using molecular breeding. We're breeding in the lab. They're using predictive analytics to predict which hybrids will have better drought tolerance, better stress tolerance. Every class of hybrids is coming out with those traits, just part of the package. And you know, the hybrids we're planting today, man, are way better than what we were planting 10 years ago. And they're light years ahead of what we were planting 20 years ago. 10 years ago, I can remember farmers still saying, well, if I'd have had this hybrid, you know, that I used to plant 10 years ago, I bet you it'd still be doing as good. Yeah, I don't hear farmers saying that anymore. And I think it's because everybody has realized that these new hybrids truly are special. They are way better. And there's a lot of science packed into every one of those kernels. And even though there's not traits involved, the actual breeding is unprecedented compared to what it used to be.
Well, I know one of the companies that you work with, Bayer, and their product lineup, they've been doing a lot of work with shorter stature hybrids. Have you seen any of those, and is that something that is in our future?
It's in our future for sure. And, I mean, Roger, the hybrids you're planting today on your own farm are a lot shorter stature than they used to be. You know, you think about hybrids of even 20 years ago. I can remember, you know, I'm 6'3". I can remember a lot of ears being over my head, and you know, tassels being you know another 6 feet in the air. These hybrids aren't that way anymore. So they have worked on getting the height. Well, some companies have, and I think you can definitely tell if you ever go by a test plot which companies have and which companies haven't. You know, Bayer has really worked hard on getting this other phenotype going, and I think that they've done a good job talking about it in press and in the media to get farmers used to where they think modern and future hybrids will be and what they'll look like. The key thing that we have to watch for is, you know, they got to yield, and I think when they yield, you'll see them on a price sheet, and companies like Brandt will be talking about them. But I'm not so sure they're going to be here next year or the next year. Some of these hybrids we're planting are just really good, and they're going to have to really make sure that short corn can stand up, not only from a yield standpoint, but agronomically, before we would even consider selling them to one of our customers.
Well, as you mentioned, of course, the soybean seed and pricing there was just interesting. Just before going on here, I was looking at the U of I and their latest updates as far as looking ahead to next year, and it certainly looks like, based on what they're showing, that the bean crop could be a more profitable crop in 22 than what the corn would be. Are you hearing that from producers, that they're, you know, maybe treating the bean crop as a better, more profit-generating crop than we used to?
Yeah, we've seen that. I think 3 years ago we first saw farmers coming to us talking about beans on beans. And, of course, that's a practice employed pretty commonly in Missouri, parts of Kansas, places where the soils aren't very good. Here in our area, we're blessed with very good soils, high CECs, high organic matter soils, Class A soils. You know, this is corn country, and farmers traditionally, we've been bred for generations to raise corn through this part of the world. But there is a shift in understanding the economics of how we can make soybeans work for us in this part of the world. As I've said several times, probably on your program before, in 2018, Sangamon County and Morgan County both averaged over 80 bushel as a county. Well, if you look in Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin, you know, a lot of these parts of the world are still, you know, down in the 60s. You know, they're not even coming close to what we can do in this part of the world with early planting. Obviously, our soils are heavy in fertility, seed treatments, managing the beans with foliar feeding. We do that here a lot at Brand, as you know, and probably most of your listeners do. Foliar fungicides, insecticides. There's just a lot of things we're doing on the soybean acre that is making it really yield more than it did 5, 10 years ago. And when you couple that with a good bean price, you know, it the potential economic advantages for some farmers are hard to overlook, and I think U of I has pointed to that, and for good reason.
No doubt. Well, at this point in the growing season here, a lot of the corn, even say the last part of April corn, that corn is, I guess, getting into the dough and past dough, maybe some of it even starting to dent. What's your assessment of where we're at, and do you think we're going to see much tip back, and what will kernel size and test weight be with the rainfall that we've had here and soil moisture conditions?
Well, that's a good question. It's really field by field, Roger. These rains really all year have just been so spotty. You know, there was places of the Brant Trade Territory that I just gave them a hard time, that they were a garden spot for so long, and then wham, those areas just got clocked by whether it be wind or hail or another 13 inches of rain that another area didn't get, and it's kind of been hard to keep track of who had the favorable weather and who didn't. We do know the areas down south, I'd say the Route 108 to Route 116 or Route 16 corridor is probably the worst. A lot of June planted corn down there, a lot of late June beans. They're struggling, of course. The replanted acres were likely wet ground anyway. So of course we've had all this rain, so those acres seem to be pretty poor, not growing the way that they should. But I've also been in some fields that just look fantastic. As you said, they're already starting to dent. They're moving their way through the dough stage. The corn plant is green from top to bottom. It's only shed a couple leaves on the bottom. We're not seeing a lot of nitrogen stress at all. And then when we see that dark color, you know, we see good ear set, you get pretty excited about the potential in some of these areas of these fields. They look phenomenal. So it's hard to say what this crop is going to make because it differs, you know, acre by acre, let alone field by field or township by township or county by county. But there are areas out here that just look fantastic. And, you know, I'm optimistic. I'm generally always optimistic. But when I see corn that is already to the dent stage with muddy fields and that good of a color, with our soils, you feel like it's going to finish strong, and at least parts of these fields are going to be pretty high yielding.
No doubt. Can we say the same about the soybean crop, especially those early planted beans?
Yeah, I think maybe. Although the soybean crop did not take those late June, early July rains as good as the corn did. They had not established the root system, and it just seems like they took it harder. And anybody that's been in the air flying, had their drone up, used satellite imagery, I think that that's pretty obvious to see that the bean crop did take that harder. Now, in the fields that are drained, whether it be surface drainage, subsurface drainage, whatever type of drainage that you have, or both, obviously that helped the beans tremendously. They were real yellow there for a long time. They greened up. We've been pulling a lot of tissue tests. We probably pulled, I'd say, 300 tissue tests here in the last month. You know, we have seen some fields look really good, that look like they've got everything they need to go ahead and produce a big crop. Some fields, not so much. We did see a record amount of fungicide and insecticide and foliar nutrition go out on these fields. There was lots of days where our production plan at Pleasant Plains, we were 2 or 3 days behind trying to make micronutrients. And, man, we had the warehouses full of it before the season even started. So we've seen growers invest in this soybean crop, and I think that's really going to help. But at the same time, it's hard to overcome those holes, and it's hard to overcome stunted yellow soybeans. So it's really going to hurt the field averages. But some of these parts of bean fields, I'd agree with you, they look really good as well.
Well, it's going to be very interesting when we get to harvest to see what impact planting dates, maturities, all of that, how it's going to play out. And, of course, you can't make a decision on 1 year, but it will be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
It always is, and it always comes back to management, Roger. Those producers that are walking their fields, that have a good team around them, that are focusing on trying to do anything they can to help the crop, putting it in right, doing a good job. Those are the guys that just seem like their fields look really, really good, and I think they'll have a good crop. And, you know, anymore, that's the majority of the farmers out here that are operating. They're good farmers. They're paying attention. They're working hard. They've got good teams around them. And so I'm optimistic that we will overcome the holes with good crops on the good parts of the fields and have a good crop this year. And obviously, hopefully, there'll be a good price left by the time we get everything harvested and farmers decide when to market this crop.
And again, our thanks to Kyle McClellan, seed manager for Brandt as well as an agronomist. So certain areas looking very good, and maybe some fields may be a little disappointing in some areas. With that, we'll wrap up this edition of Talking Agriculture with the experts from Brandt.